broadcasting from the Unshackled Studios in Melbourne. This is Will's Front, brought to you by theunshackled.net. Now here's Tim Wills.
Hello and welcome to this Saturday special edition of Wilms Front. On this October 3rd, 2020, we are live on the Wilms Front YouTube DLive and also on the Unshackled's Facebook page. Regular viewers might notice throughout the show a better camera and graphics flow. That's because I've decided to switch the streaming software that I use for a better broadcast flow for myself, the guests, and of course you, the viewer. This is also why I'm able to stream to Facebook as well, and will do so for every Wilms Front program in the future. We are continuing to use the interactive Entropy software, so you can ask questions of myself or my guests for tonight, and also send through Super Chat. So I put that in the descriptions. It is 7 p.m. here in lockdown Melbourne. It's been a scorching weekend here so far, and we'll be again tomorrow. 3 days of temperatures in the high 20s, which is why tonight I've got a t-shirt on. I call it virus frying heat, but Dictator Dan's decrees mean that you're only allowed out for a maximum of 2 hours a day within your 5 kilometre radius, and only allowed in a maximum group of five from a maximum of 2 households, and you now must wear a fitted face mask. 8 new cases and 3 new deaths were announced by Dan this morning. There are now only 241 active cases in Victoria. 34 people are in hospital with COVID in their system, and 4 are in intensive care. The 14-day new daily case average for metropolitan Melbourne sits at 12, and new cases from unknown sources for the same period is now 11. For regional Victoria, the 14-day average is virtually zero, and they only have 2 active cases left. The main clusters of concern at the moment are at the Butcher Club at Chadstone Shopping Centre, which patient zero was a cleaner from Frankston. We also found out this week, amazingly, that the government is still using private security guards at hotel quarantine after infection control breaches were revealed. 9 security guards from Spotless Security were infected at the Novotel in South Bank. Dan Andrews said they were there for welfare purposes, not security. Then I guess they're not security guards. Deputy Chief Health Officer Alan Chang said that these guards or welfare officers, they acquired the virus in the community, not from those in quarantine. It sent shudders through Victoria that a third wave could have been created, and that even after the coronavirus conclusive evidence that the hotel quarantine breaches at Ridges on Swanson Street, which was guarded by private security, caused the second wave and the subsequent lockdown. The government still had these security arrangements in place. It's absolutely incredible. So Victoria Police and Corrections Victoria have taken over the quarantining of that hotel. The whole state of Victoria has been under a state of emergency due to the coronavirus for over 6 months now, with state home or lockdown orders being in place for 4 months of that time, roughly. Melburnians have been subjected to one of the longest and strictest enforced lockdowns anywhere in the Western world. Victorian police have been granted the authority to issue some of the highest fines for breaches of restrictions. Last Sunday, Dan upped the fine for illegal private indoor and outdoor gatherings from the standard $1,652 to the maximum fine of $4,957, which is the same amount of the fine for breaching quarantine orders or travelling out of metropolitan Melbourne to semi-free regional Victoria. The increased fines look aimed, as I've been saying, at deterring the triple P's, parties, protesting and picnicking. There were social distancing circles drawn at popular parks and foreshores in preparation for the warm weather of this weekend. One of the most popular beaches and foreshores in Melbourne is in densely populated St Kilda in the Port Phillip Council area. There has been much reaction to Channel 7 reporter Paul Dowsley's live cross from that beach on Friday evening. We'll just have a look at that now.
They're the pictures that have health authorities on edge tonight. Thousands of mask-free Melburnians flocking to beaches ahead of our warmest weekend in 7 months. Paul Dowsley is at St Kilda Beach, and Paul, this is giving police a big lockdown headache.
Mike, how good is this shot of warm weather? And here at St Kilda, they are gathering in the hundreds. Remember though, you can't come across town to enjoy time at the beach with your friends. The rules are still in place. You should still wear a mask, you should stay just 5 kilometres from home, and you should only be in groups of no more than 5 people from 2 households. The people here, they're in their hundreds, and this is just an idea of what Melbourne might expect over the weekend as it warms up even more.
Now, that camera phone footage at the end, that was when the Channel 7 cameras, well, they were rolling, but that wasn't put to air, which shows that Paul Dowsley was sort of playing along with the people at St Kilda Beach. There was a lot of reaction online to those people there with Melbourne traitors trending. Now, I believe that those people at St Kilda Beach gathering there were stupid, but not for the reason that most were saying. It's because, well, St Kilda Beach and the St Kilda area has been one of the most highly surveilled policed areas during the Melbourne lockdown. That's where police have set up checkpoints for those cycling, done random stops on people, and also drones flying overhead to check that people are social distancing, wearing masks and that, and those people there showing their faces on the live cross without masks. I mean, if the facial recognition technology is advanced enough, it'd be easy for Victoria Police to track them down and find them. Given that the Port Phillip council area only has 3 active cases, I don't think it's going to be the super spreader event that some people are fearing. Definitely, it made a lot of people upset seeing that footage, especially business owners, given that they've been forced to shut for so long. I know that Dan and the Chief Health Officer, Dr. Brett Sutton, gave them a strong spray today, which Dan Andrews said, Victoria Police may have to look at closing the beach, though Brett Sutton was more sympathetic, saying that I understand the lockdown fatigue. They're sort of good cop, bad cop, dictator Dan, and more friendly Brett Sutton. Now, Paul Dowsley, he was the same Channel 7 reporter who was at the September 5 Freedom Day protest at Melbourne Shrine of Remembrance. Victoria Police took unprecedented action to try and prevent people attending and charge the some of the organisers, or the main organisers, with incitement. One of the most disturbing arrests that went viral all around the world was of Ballarat mother Zoe Bueller on Wednesday, the 2nd of September, for organising a protest in that regional city when they were at that time, stage 3 restrictions. On Friday, James Bartolo from the Conscious Truth Network was also arrested and charged with incitement. Both of those were captured on video phone footage and circulated. But there were two incitement arrests and charges on the Tuesday of that week, which weren't captured on camera. First, there was a 32-year-old man from Epping that was charged with incitement. That was Fanos Panias, who is the founder of the 99% Unite Facebook group and movement. And a 28-year-old man from Coburg was also charged. That Coburg man is my guest for tonight, Anthony Kalouf, who is the founder of Australians Versus the Agenda. He has worked as a personal trainer before the lockdown and also worked in the security industry. He was recently featured in the Channel 7 NewsWeb only episode of their Spotlight series. You can see the promo image for that. Anthony, thanks for joining me tonight.
Good intro.
Now, I'd like to start by getting an idea of what your life was like before the coronavirus and the lockdown, because most of the anti-lockdown activists I've interviewed or come across had normal lives and weren't that politically engaged before, obviously, their lives were turned upside down by the virus and lockdowns this year. So just to give us an overview of what your life was like until 2020.
Yeah, so coming into the new year's, my plans were to just kickstart my new business venture. I wanted to open up a gym. I had a pretty detailed business plan ready to go. Had partners that were already invested. And yeah, that was pretty much my project for the year. But coming into January and February, the news coming out of China showed us that there was something on its way. And I pretty much told anybody that would listen that I think that this year is going to be heavily disrupted. And lo and behold, in March, we get locked down and here we are. And I told people, I told anybody that would listen in September, this was going to continue on, and now we're in October. So I've even sort of far exceeded my own expectations. I told people back in February that this was going to run until about August, September. So yeah, but my life prior to this was just personal training through Fitness First. And I was just on my own little venture with my own business ventures and yeah, just living a normal, comfortable life, but nothing's really comfortable at the moment.
Now, I saw your page, Australians Versus the Agenda, when the 5th of September Freedom Day protest was going viral. It wasn't just going to be a Melbourne event. It was there were also events organised in other major cities. Obviously, the main anti-lockdown pro-freedom group that had been around most prominently during the first lockdown was 99% Unite, which I mentioned Fanos was one of the founders of. So Rafael Fernandez is also basically his right-hand man with that. But I noticed as the lockdown dragged on, there were so many other different people and groups opposing the lockdown, speaking up and organising illegal gatherings, as we've been told. And obviously the fifth that gained the support of Fanos and James Bartolo, Nick Patterson of Empowerment Solutions, and also Rafael Fernandez, they were initially supportive, but decided obviously with all the incitement charges against attending or encouraging others to attend. And this was, we have to remember, well, it was a month ago now, that this was the day before Father's Day, where Dan was going to announce his roadmap out of lockdown, which has so far been a road to nowhere. A lot of people thought that, oh, we were going to be set free on September the 14th, on that Monday. How very wrong people were.
Yeah, well, I think people don't realise that Dan Andrews is a very Teflon individual. Like, I've been telling people for the last couple of months that he plays dumb, but he's incredibly intelligent. And I describe him as Teflon because that's how I would describe a mafia boss leader, like someone that just manages to avoid criticism and manages to avoid all the trouble that is thrown their way and does everything in their power to maintain a positive reputation, either for him in the public or in the eyes of his close associates. That's why I describe him as a Teflon man. People don't realize just how intelligent and just like thorough and straight edge this man is. He's so intelligent in his execution. And I think that's why he's the perfect puppeteer, like the puppeteer for people to pull his strings to pursue this agenda, which people often talk about. But with regards to the whole, I guess, Freedom Day event, my involvement was like I ignore politics. I ignore protests. I walk down, Melbourne Central Station, because I used to work at the Fitness First upstairs there, and you'd see protests occur in front of State Library, and I just walked past. I ignored it. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't really care. All of a sudden, this has been dragged on for months and months and months, and probably about 4 or 5 weeks before the protest was announced to be on the 5th, I just blew my gasket. I was just pissed off at how no one was doing anything. I saw on the sidelines people were talking about doing something, but no one executed. And I was just like, you know what, screw it. If no one's going to execute, I'm going to execute. And then in a way, I interjected into what other people's plans were, and that's how I got involved in the wider group. But I just got frustrated that no one was really taking the initiative to take advantage of the momentum that all these groups built. There was over 100,000 people in the Millions Rise for Freedom or Millions Rise for Australia group, and there were tens of thousands in other groups. And I think my role developed into just accelerating the movement, because so many people were trying to fight for who's the leader, who's the person that's going to be the one to take the notoriety of being able to lead this movement. But the reason why I was able to interject and then accelerate the movement the way that it did accelerate, the way that it did, in a way that it captured Channel 7 network, it captured all the main networks, was because I made the Facebook page, and then I also made the Facebook event completely anonymous. There was no tie to a name. There was no tie to an identity or a group. It was just completely anonymous. It was originally named as 500,000 people to end the Victorian lockdown. And that was the beauty about it. It was a faceless event. And then
I've got the photo here. You were selling on your website the Guy Fawkes mask, which in modern popular culture was made famous by the 2005 British movie V for Vendetta, which fights against a fascist regime. With the help of Evie, who is played by Hugo Weaving, plays V, and Natalie Portman plays Evie.
Yeah, like the imagery behind the Guy Fawkes marks wasn't anything revolutionary for me. I was just basically taking advantage of an existing storyline that I could parlay with our current storyline, and they just worked in terms of the narrative perfectly with our situation. And yeah, it was just a feature of sort of merging the storyline and the real life problems that we're suffering through at the moment with the storyline and the narrative in that film.
And obviously, the propaganda outlet in that film is a British television network. And up until very recently, all of our mainstream media was egging Dan Andrews on with the lockdown, shaming COVIDiots, virus deniers, anti-maskers. They egged him on to have at first it was a face covering mandate, it's now a mask mandate, and to introduce stage 4 restrictions. And of course, he was all too willing to pull the trigger on those. But as we've seen, he's not so willing to let go of this incredible power that he's got, basically. We live our lives by his daily decrees, what he says at that press conferences, which I guess for somebody like you is so foreign that your daily life is impacted by what the Premier says.
Yeah, well, I didn't really give a shit what this guy was saying for a while, but as soon as it started to really impact my quality of life, that's when I started to feel like I needed to do something. And just naturally, I'm a very, very outspoken person, and I have a natural sort of learned ability to be able to understand how to engage people and how to get people to take action. And I think that's what was really powerful with the people that ended up being the leaders of the movement. We were people that know how to get people engaged, and we know how to activate people in a way that gets people to take action. So I think in terms of the people that were involved, we were all just regular people living our daily lives, trying to accomplish our personal goals throughout the year. But as the years gone on, more and more has politics become a part of our daily lives. And there's a quote that I saw recently where it's like, if you don't take an interest in politics, politics will eventually take an interest in you. And that's what's happened to all of us, I think. We've been so heavily impacted by the decision makers that it's forced them to get involved in our lives. But now we're here in the position where we're starting to push back. And I think that the government doesn't like that when we push back. And that's why we're going to keep on going.
It certainly wasn't on the ballot in the 2018 state election. I'm not sure how you're voted. I don't expect you to tell me, but definitely living under a police state in 2020 wasn't on the ballot in 2018. And probably most Victorians were unaware that there were all these emergency powers, the Public Health and Wellbeing Act 2008, and the Emergency Management Act of 2013, that could be utilised by the Premier just like that to basically turn them into a dictator.
Well, that's exactly right. These are all legislation that I don't think anybody really paid attention to, but obviously these guys had the foresight to be able to plan everything ahead of time, to be able to know what to execute and implement at the right time. So I give them full credit. I'm an entrepreneur by nature, and having the foresight to be able to have these things ready to go, I give them kudos. But at the same time, they've got it pretty easy because they have unlimited resources, they have unlimited time, they have unlimited money, and it just makes for easier decision making. People like myself, we're just grassroots, self-made people that are just hoping to be able to get the plan together the best of our ability, and then hoping that it executes the right way. And I think that's sort of parlayed into why it was a bit of a struggle at the beginning with one, the power struggle, but two, also just figuring out how we were going to plan this protest in a way that we were going to get the biggest possible gathering. If Dan Andrews went on to the press conference tomorrow and said, this weekend on Saturday, I give full permission for a million people to gather at Parliament House, there you go. He will get a million people at the drop of a dime. But we've got social media, and that's pretty much it. And not only that, they're doing everything in their power to try to intervene and shut us down and close our groups. So one, our resources aren't as rich as theirs. And then two, they can do whatever they want in terms of trying to limit our ability on executing as well. So we've been struggling, but I think at this stage of the timeline, I think human nature more than anything is starting to take over. So I think the pressing nature of me having to try to educate and get more people informed of what's going on is starting to not be as important to me, because human nature is starting to take over, where people are just reaching their personal thresholds. And that's awesome. I kind of wish that people reach their personal thresholds earlier, but, you know, I'm glad that it happened. at least now, thank God. Hopefully by the end of the year, they lose all control of the entire population and then we can just go on with our lives. They can't arrest everybody.
The week before the September 5 Freedom Day, that's when Assistant Commissioner Luke Cornelius, who is commonly referred to by his nickname Chief Wiggum, we haven't seen him much recently, got up and called the anti-lockdown movement batshit crazy, tinfoil hat wearing, amongst other insults. And that was the prelude to the following week of incitement charges, which, as I mentioned, you and Fanos were hit on the Tuesday. Now, just describe what that, they came at 6 a.m., so what that day was like.
Yeah, so for me personally, I'm a night owl, so I was up until maybe 2 o'clock that morning, and then I get a big bang on the door at 6 o'clock that morning. I didn't wake up to open up the door. My younger brother opened up the door, got welcomed by 5 police officers, all not in traditional Victoria Police uniforms. They identified themselves as Victoria Police, but they were the one that I liaised with at the time. He was, his name's Jamie. He's an informant, maybe like an investigator or something. But I liaised with him. I wasn't actually put in handcuffs, which sort of diminishes the nature of the arrest in the eyes of a lot of people that I've spoken to. But I was under arrest. They went through my bedroom, surveyed all my stuff, opened up boxes that were packages. They took my laptop that I'm currently using. They took my iPhone. So that was those two primary pieces of electronics. And then they also took 2 Guy Fawkes masks that I had on my desk. And then they also took some Australia Post packaging that I bought to post those packages for the Guy Fawkes masks. And then, unfortunately, they also took some cannabis off me, which I'm mostly upset about because I just bought that bag. So I got slapped with the cannabis charge as well, if nobody knew that. I got slapped with the cannabis charge, which is probably the charge that is going to actually stick with me. The incitement charge, I'm almost certain, will drop, but the cannabis charge, unfortunately, I'll probably get a caution for it.
Well, with James Bartolo, he collects swords just for display aesthetic purposes. And so when they raided, arrested and charged him, they also charged him with possession of weapons as well. So they obviously, if they find other stuff there, they throw the book at you. That'll be interesting in regard to James if that charge stands up, given that he just keeps them for display purposes. Obviously, with you being caught with an illicit substance, that's a bit different. But yeah, I'm not surprised that they slapped you with that as well. And you're also interviewed by the police. You've got a copy of the police interview, which you can't post yet. I know that one of the early people who was charged with incitement, Sol, he posted his online. I'm not sure what sort of the legalities are because you posted a screenshot on your Facebook profile.
Yeah, I actually, during my 5-hour stint at Faulkner Police Station, I spoke to Jamie about it, the informant, and I go, hey, I know Sol's uploaded it online. Am I allowed to upload my one? And, my one wasn't as colorful as his one. His one was fantastic. But they told me that he wasn't actually allowed to do it, but they didn't tell him that he wasn't allowed to do it before he did it. So it wasn't exactly his fault. But yeah, they told me that I wasn't allowed to upload it. And the only reason I uploaded that screenshot mainly was because it was the Victoria Police Remembrance Day on that day. And I have the utmost disrespect for the Victoria Police at the moment. So I actually captioned that with F the police, and it was just a screenshot of myself sitting down absolutely buggered at 6 o'clock in the morning, waiting to find out what the hell was going to go on.
Yes, Police Remembrance Day was on September 29th, which I saw that it was in the calendar, or Blue Ribbon Day, as it's also known. And I wondered, I think that Blue Ribbon sales are probably going to be significantly down this year. And a lot of people who might normally acknowledge it would be feeling quite uneasy or conflicted about it.
Yeah, I think there's a growing resentment between the public and the police, and I don't see it changing anytime soon, if ever. There's a rich history in Victoria of corruption in Victoria Police that I think most of the older generation are well aware of the corruption that's gone on in that organization. And they're gonna be facing a lot of backlash and a lot of public resentment. And I think if I was to forecast another thing coming up in the future, because I've been forecasting a lot of certain events over the last 7 months, and 90% of them have come true. I think if nothing changes on the 18th of October, coming up with his next announcement, there's going to be a massive shift in civil disobedience. And like I said before, it's not going to be anything that I'm endorsing or anybody else is endorsing. It's just going to come from human nature. People are going to get to these certain milestones that Dan Andrews sets for us, and people are going to be like, far out, man. You said 4 more weeks. We gave you 4 more weeks. You said 2 more weeks. We gave you 2 more weeks. You said 6 more weeks. We gave you 6 more weeks. How much more of your life do you want to take over? And I think the 18th of October is going to be a very important day for Mr. Teflon, because if he doesn't give the people what they want, they're going to take it for themselves. And I forecast that a lot of business owners are going to just open up. I forecast that a lot of people are just going to be like, screw the mask mandate. They're going to just take off their mask. Like, bloody hell, it's almost 30 degrees today. Everyone that I saw in the area was not wearing a mask. And I think civil disobedience is going to get to the point where it takes over. And like I said, it's nothing that I'm endorsing publicly, but God bless human nature, because human nature will eventually take over. So watch out, Teflon, man. Make a smart decision.
There was that exchange you had at the beginning of this week with the Australian's Rachel Baxendale, Dan Andrews, when she said, well, what's the why are you requiring people in regional Victoria to wear a mask when they're outside, when they're the only person within a kilometre? And he said, oh, what's the issue, Rachel? He put the presumption on her to basically that it wasn't up to him to justify his mask mandate, his decree. It was up her to disprove it. And in Mildura today, it's around about 35 degrees, no active cases there, yet they've still got the mask mandate there. The fine for not wearing a mask without a lawful excuse is $200, so it's sort of at the lower end. People on the whole, if they're legally required to wear a mask, they do, even though it's when it's warm, you get so dehydrated, sweaty, and dry throat, you almost feel like you have coronavirus symptoms when you're wearing a mask on a hot day.
Yeah, well, I bought a mask originally, but for the most part, I bought it because I just wanted to support the gym that was printing them out, and it was a pretty cool style. In terms of the mask mandate, I think, again, Mr. Teflon Dan is going to have to come to the point where he makes a very sort of calculated decision in deciding that the mask mandate is no longer set, and it's more, I think, the smart move for him. And I'm happy to give the man advice, because either way, the house's cards are falling. I think that he should probably change it to a sort of a precautionary measure where you only wear them when social distancing measures and hand hygiene measures and all the other basics aren't applicable. So if you're in a busy store or something like that. As for the temperature and all the other excuses that people have to come up with, well, I think it's going to get to a point where people are just not going to have to come up with excuses because we're coming into the hotter weather. What reasonable person, if these police want to regain the respect of the public, is going to get upset about someone not wearing a mask in 30 plus degree heat? Like, seriously, at that point, common sense better prevail. Otherwise, people are going to start hurting the police back with either their words or with fists, because people are going to get upset. People are going to get upset. And I'm not endorsing violence against police, but they're probably one bad decision away from upsetting the wrong person at the wrong time, and then someone will snap back. And I just hope that that doesn't happen to them, because, you know, they're trying to repair their public image, but people are pissed off, man. People are pissed off. And I've had some high profile people reach out to me. I've had bikies reach out to me. I've had some of the most prolific people in Melbourne reach out to me and say, hey, what can I do? How can I help? How can we make a change? How can we get Dan Andrews out of this box seat? And I don't want to engage with them because I don't want to endorse violence. I'm not a violent person, but I'm a very strategic person, and it's going to get to the point where the police and the government are going to have to make sensible decisions. Otherwise, you just upset the wrong people at the wrong time, and people get aggressive back at you. And it's going to be interesting. I think the Daily Mail compared us to the Royal, I think it was the Eureka Stockade. Who knows, man? There might be violence between the Victorian people and the police again.
We saw when the face covering mandate first came in that Victoria police officer choke a woman who wasn't wearing a mask, even though she had an exemption. He was later cleared by police professional standards. There's obviously still outstanding that, it's been referred to IBAC, the broad-based anti-corruption board, the stomp on the head of that a mentally ill man who couldn't get a hospital bed. So he just had a breakdown, stomped on the head by that officer, and also hit by a police vehicle as well. That footage was also uncovered by Paul Dowsley. He seems to be bloody everywhere as the main Channel 7 reporter. But yeah, there's been numerous incidents of heavy-handedness, which is, a lot of people have wondered, is it deliberately designed to install fear in the rest of us to obey the rules? Dan has sometimes said himself, if that is the case, to sort of, it's very disturbing that governments, when they deliberately use fear explicitly to get compliance.
Yeah. What's his name? So Robert F. Kennedy Jr., during his speech in Berlin, he goes, doesn't matter what type of society it is, whether it be a capitalist society or I think he said a communist society or whatever he compared it to, the only thing that a government needs to take control of its people is fear. And that's what they've done. They've, one, the networks, the news networks have monetized fear, because I think no bigger time than in history, they are making big bucks off monetizing the news every night, and the skyrocketing viewership, their desperation to engage with people just like myself, just to get more numbers. The government being able to use the media in any way that they wish to deliver a certain message to perpetuate and enhance the fear. It's a very powerful tool. And I think that's the reason why Australians and Australia as a country was such an easy target, is because for the most part, people here acquiesce, as David Icke would say. People are just, they become subjects of whatever the decision making is. Like even my parents, they watch TV as if it's like religion. Whatever happens on the TV, they take it as gospel. And I'm trying to tell them every day, don't believe what they tell you. You gotta do your own research. You gotta look for the narrative that they're not telling you. What they're telling you on the TV is just a way for them to distract you. You gotta find the narrative that they're not showing on TV. That's what their real intentions are. But I guess yeah, they were very successful in one, monetizing fear, and two, utilizing fear as a way to control people. But like I said, man, human nature will take over.
Now, after you were charged with incitement, both you and Fanos were given a gag order until the day after the September 5 protest, though you recorded a brief message to your Facebook followers to basically confirm that, well, you were the 28-year-old in Coburg. I'll just play that for our audience now.
I'm all good. I'm all good. Everything's all good. I hope the young man from Epping is all good as well. The young man from Coburg is all good. Kind of pissed off I got a visit at fucking 6 a.m. in the morning, but you know, whatever. Just want to make sure that everyone's all good. And what can I say and what can I not say? I've basically got a gag order on me. Let's put it that way, guys. So, I'm telling you something, man. It's only until it happens to you that you realize just how serious and how corrupt the system is. This happening to me didn't have to wake me up, because I was already awake. I hope that this doesn't happen to you, but if it does happen to you, it's gonna really traumatize you, and it's gonna hurt your feelings, and it's gonna make you really, really think, fuck, why didn't I say something earlier? I hope you guys realize how bad this is gonna get if you don't do something about it. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not allowed to tell you what to do. I'm not even allowed to go to the CBD. I'm not allowed to move anywhere. But I'm telling you guys right now, you need to fight for your freedom. Because if you don't defend your freedom, you're gonna lose it. Take care, everybody.
Police continue to target rally organisers and promoters.
Three individuals have so far been charged with incitement.
Anthony Kalouf had been urging others to join him until police knocked on his door earlier this week.
I've been charged with incitement. I've been bailed, and I have bail conditions that I have to follow, which the main condition is to not go to the protest, which I fully respect. I won't be going, and I'm not allowed to go.
The personal trainer hasn't been able to work and says the protest is about lockdown fatigue.
My case is only just one case of a growing majority of people. And if they don't do anything about it soon, we're going to start fighting back. And I think this is what the protest is about.
So you've now got this incitement charge hanging over your head. When is your magistrate's court appearance? I know that Zoe's, she said hers is in January. James Bartolo, his is not until, I think he said, May.
Yeah, from my understanding, myself, Fanos, and Sully all have ours on the same day. I think it's the 4th of February. But I'm almost certain that the charges will get dropped prior to that, because one, I don't know about the other guys, but I've got a fantastic lawyer that I'm in consultation with. And I think number two, the more important thing that's come out recently is that there's a Swinburne article from someone.
Yes, Professor.
Saying that we were Australia's first political prisoners. So yeah, that's an interesting piece that I saw recently.
Yeah, that's from Professor Mirko Bagarek, who's, well, he's been a long time a commentator in the media, law professor at Swinburne, certainly no fringe legal eagle. And there's been a lot of other legal experts who've questioned the use of the incitement charge against those who incited others to defy the chief health officer's directions, given that, well, protesting is not normally a crime, and also the incitement charge is used against people who've incited others to commit serious criminal offences such as murder and terrorism.
Well, that's exactly right. And like I've got the quote that I posted from that article, which was really important. It said, meaning that Australia has witnessed the detention of its first political prisoners. I don't really care about that, but I took that as a compliment because I didn't even know that Australia never had political prisoners up until this happening to us. So I'm going to put that on my resume. Australia's first political prisoner. That's amazing. But not only that, just the fact that it says the High Court is likely to free the COVID political prisoners. It might be an easy day for my lawyer because he might not even have to do anything. Because, you know, there's all these High Court rulings. I think Avi Yameni, he's working with the Supreme Court, pursuing the police on his arrest.
He's also got the Fight the Fines website as well.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure he'll be pursuing litigation against the Victoria Police as well, like personal libel against liability charges against them for the arrest. Him being a journalist makes it a bit more high profile. And it's just interesting to see the developments. Like I said, one, human nature for how people respond publicly, and two, just nature itself and, you know, evolution. The evolution of this situation is slowly developing into our favor. One, we're slowly evolving into the majority. And two, the evolution of all these mandates and all these politicized issues that they're trying to use to stronghold the country and the population, all of a sudden the true legalities of it is starting to unfold and unravel. And I'm not upset that I got arrested. I'm actually quite excited for what's to come, because I wish myself and everyone else that got arrested very well in pursuing hopefully a handsome payday.
I know that the Institute of Public Affairs and Libby Works have organised a legal fundraiser for Zoe Bueller. Obviously, she being a mother and a pregnant woman, she's sort of a more, you would say, a vulnerable a face than sort of somebody like you and Fenos, a young, fit, young personal trainers. But obviously you're all facing the same charge, and if her charge gets thrown out, then so does yours and Fenos's and James as well.
Yeah, well, I think in terms of everyone and their own personal charges, we're all going to pursue it individually. It looks like the police are trying to coordinate it, as myself, Fenos and Sol, as the sort of like the not the Three Stooges, but like the three people that sort of like the gang of three that were the most prominent organizers of the event, because they've grouped us three as one on the same court day at the same time. It looks like that's what their intentions are. It doesn't look like they tried to separate the dates. It looks like they've tried to make it look like us three are the three main organizers and make us look stupid in front of the magistrate. But like I was saying before, I don't think this is even going to front the magistrate at this point. It's going to be, you know, us being the people that are going to be in front of the verses when we're charging the police and probably charging the state as well. So, the tides will turn very quickly, and we'll see what happens.
Now, can I get your view on the coronavirus, or COVID-19, as it's technically referred to because obviously it's fair to describe it as a new strain of influenza. It's worse than the flu, given that it's a evolved a virus. It's been well pointed out that the survival rate for most groups is over 90%. But can I just get your perspective on the virus itself?
With my experience as a trainer, and you know, I have a degree in health sciences, my understanding is that coronavirus has just become something that has quickly become politicized. It went from an initial health crisis where there was a scaremongering campaign coming out of China, where you saw people just collapsing on the streets, and it made everyone think, oh crap, we got to take action. So we took the initial action of locking down all the states and the international borders. But very quickly, it's become a politicized tool and utility for all the state government leaders to be able to pursue their own personal agenda. And, you know, I think Queensland is not doing anything with their border restrictions until the day after the election. What a coincidence.
Yes, November 1, yeah.
You know, it's become a politicized utility. It's no longer about health. This almost was never about health. How many times has Dan Andrews come up and said, go and get sun, go get some vitamin D, eat a healthy diet, go exercise. You know, they're trying to make people fucking battery hens sitting inside their bedroom 22, 23 hours a day, with no vitamin D exposure, with no ability to exercise, can't go to the gym, can't do anything to enhance your health. When was this ever a health issue if you're not endorsing healthy habits? You know, you have the most like outspoken politician and premier in Dan Andrews. You have the ability to engage people on a daily basis in the most like outspoken way possible, and you can make such a positive impact on their lives by endorsing all these healthy habits, and yet you politicize it and you only pursue your own interests. That's why people are starting to resent this man. That's why people are starting to resent all of their public premiers and all their chief ministers and all these, you know, chief health officers. We're all starting to resent them all, because this went very quickly from a health issue to a political issue, and they're all pursuing their own personal agendas, and they're not doing anything to actually show that this is still a health issue. And people aren't dumb. People are waking up to this. And I think, like I said, human nature will eventually take over, and people are just going to make decisions for themselves. And God bless those people, man. God bless Victoria, because it's been a long time coming.
Well, we were told 6 months ago, when the first wave was spreading throughout Australia, that we just need the lockdowns to flatten the curve so we can prepare our health system. That was the deal. And I accepted that, given that we didn't know much about the virus at the time because of the disinformation campaign from communist China. Fast forward 6 months, we know a lot more about the virus. And now we have, even though the official national cabinet policy is suppression, Dan Andrews basically pursuing an elimination strategy. And I went through the stats at the beginning, where we have, 34 in hospital now. He basically wants to eliminate the virus. He keeps saying we can't open up yet. And he said about the St Kilda Beach people today, just a few more weeks. How many times have we heard that? It either seems we're not going to be able to get to normal unless, well, the virus is eliminated, which is possible, or there's a vaccine, which is also possible.
Man, to be honest, I think his stronghold on the population in Melbourne and Victoria is very quickly going to wane away. I guess he did his best to try to pursue this fast-tracked agenda throughout the colder periods because it's a much easier time where people aren't susceptible to going out, even just going out to the beaches in the sun, even though there's no sort of venues to go out to. People are more inclined to go to the beach in hotter weather than cold weather. And I think that's where all these, you know, the elites and all these political leaders have dropped the ball. One, they've tried to pursue this agenda very quickly. In, you know, 6-7 months, they've tried to fast track an agenda that looked like it had a timeline of at least a couple of years. And, you know, people aren't dumb. You know, we even the most sort of hesitant people to figure out what was really going on at the time have started to realize that this is no longer about health, and they're gonna lose the stronghold on the population very soon with the hotter weather coming up, and two, just the fact that there's a lot of pushback now. I don't see the omnibus bill passing anytime soon, and I think that if it does pass, the civil disobedience that I was talking about earlier is only going to accelerate tenfold. I think that if the bill passes, the next day there's going to be an avalanche coming towards the state parliament because people are going to be pissed off if this happens. But yeah, we'll just see where the chips fall, and they'll fall as they may.
Well, as I said in my introduction, the hot weather is virus frying weather. You're hardly going to catch a virus on a 35 degree day out in the open air. You're more likely to say get a virus if the ventilation system inside is not clean with its cycle.
Look, I'm not like an epidemiologist. I don't know nothing about viruses. I know nothing about that stuff. But
oh, that's
it. No, I don't really care. Like, I've been going out for the last 5 months trying to find the virus. I've gone out for the last 5 months not wearing a mask, not really being too sort of aware of what my hygiene is like. Like, if I'm sneezing, I'll cover my mouth and I'll wash my hands, but I won't, like, every second shop that I go into, I'm introduced by a security guard that wants me to get my temperature taken and fucking put another handful of hand sanitizer. I'm not hand sanitizing my hands 12 times a day. I'm not going to do any of that crap. I literally tell these people to get stuffed, you know, and that's like I was saying before, human nature will eventually take over. And these people that are there, these people that are positioned to enforce these point of entry restrictions, even they're going to get to the point where they can't be bothered enforcing it. I've done security, man. If I was the guy that was facing me and I was, told, hey, no, I'm not going to put hand sanitizer on my hand. I've already sanitized my hand 5 times today. And no, you're not taking my temperature because you're not a fucking doctor. You know, I'm going to get to the point if I'm encountering that same person 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day, I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to be like, screw it, I can't be bothered enforcing this crap. I'm just going to let people walk in. And that's the thing. Human nature will take over. And Dan Andrews, you've got to make some smart decisions if you want to have control of the population, because if you don't, it's going to slip away. And I don't know that this man is smart enough to control the population for much longer. So
He's definitely got skill as a control freak and a political operator, but in terms of his common sense approach, he likes to talk about common sense a lot. He doesn't seem to practice much of it in his policies. Obviously, you're limited to the activism you can engage in, but you certainly haven't been silenced since you were charged with the incitement. You've basically on your Facebook profile just been communicating to your followers how out of control the Victorian police state is and the inconsistency of the the rules, the restrictions, and also the outright lies from Dan?
Look, growing up, I've lived with resentment all my life because my father wasn't there for me. But one thing that I was born with as a gift of those circumstances was the ability to be able to use that resentment as a powerful tool to achieve my goals. So every time I feel a bit of, you know, I feel not like I don't have the motivation or the willingness to achieve certain things, I go back to that part of my mind and my heart where I feel resentment from the people that I thought that were there for me. And I use that as a utility to motivate me. And one thing that I've been using as my utility with my Facebook post, for example, is I'm trying to build people's resentment for Dan Andrews, because if I can continue to build people's resentment towards this man, eventually they will turn on him and they will look at him as someone that they do not like anymore, that they cannot trust anymore, and then they'll eventually give up on this man. And the more that I can build that resentment in people's hearts and minds, the more the tide will turn. But yeah, these things are just utilities, man. And eventually human nature will take over, and eventually the majority, the silent majority, will no longer be silent, and we will be the outspoken ones.
There's still the I stand with Dan crowd, amazingly, though they're certainly losing their stranglehold on at least their main platform, which is social media. And you just sort of wonder with these people, how much lockdown is satisfactory for them? How much longer are you willing to, because a lot of these people, they would be arts and hipsters and all those people used to going out and that, and you just sort of wonder, are you that much of a devotee that you're just willing to live like this forever if Dan says so?
Nah, people will eventually break out of this spell, and I think the spell is almost going to wear out. I think that his milestone date of, October 18th, if nothing really changes at that point, I see a lot of business owners just cracking open the doors of their businesses and start making decisions for themselves. So Dan Andrews needs to be very, very intelligent with his next decision-making process, because like I've been engaged with a lot of high profile business owners, and they told me, even I think it was September 13th when the original state of emergency powers was supposed to end, that they were going to open up on that day, but obviously they've acquiesced and sort of played to Dan Andrews' spell. But I'm almost certain that this is going to be the last of their bit of string that they give this man before they open up their doors. And I can't wait to see that, man. I can't wait, because I've been hanging to go to a coffee shop for a while.
As always, that's, what is it, the waiting game, another Sunday, Dan decision day on October 18th. We'll all have to hold our breath again. I've appreciated you, Anthony, telling your story to myself and my audience tonight. And if people want to, I'll put it up on the screen again. See you on the 7 News Spotlight. Is it still pinned to the 7 News Facebook page?
I haven't checked it recently, but I'm pretty sure it is. And it's done pretty good views. I think across all platforms, it's done about 250,000 views. So it's doing pretty well at the moment.
And it's also on 7 News YouTube as well. And I'll put the link to it in the description. And we'll follow yours, Phanos's and Sol's incitement case when it's heard in February. Hopefully by then the courts are back properly open, because that is also a function of our democracy, open justice. We'll do our best to follow your hearing when it happens. And yeah, I would encourage people to also follow you on Facebook to check out your thoughts and perspective on who knows what's going to happen in the next week or so. And yeah, stay safe and stay sane is the sort of catchphrase that I and my colleagues have at the moment.
No, I appreciate your time. And if anyone wants to contact me, they're free to contact me on my Facebook. I'm quite active on it. And I'm going to be sharing a lot more updates on the developments over the next couple of weeks. So it's going to be an interesting time for all of us. But I appreciate it, man.
Yep, take care.
Thanks, man.
Now, obviously, the people on social media who were outraged at the Melbourne traitors at St Kilda Beach were calling for, Victoria Police to be on the ground there. But it was interesting, I saw this footage of St Kilda Beach this afternoon where order looks like it's back. So as you can see there, people were back this afternoon obeying the social distancing circle. So could have been just sort of a one-off thing for the cameras. We know how much the media like to sensationalize things and shame COVID idiots. But as I said, it's highly unlikely with three active cases in the Port Phillip area that's likely to be a super spreader. But definitely people are worried that Dan will use an excuse to keep restrictions on for longer. But if the magic target is met of five cases on that 14-day average and five mystery cases, then you'll have to move to the third step. And obviously the big international story of the last 24 hours has been Donald Trump and his wife Melania being diagnosed with the coronavirus. There's been an update on that. There we go. So this is from Fox News. Trump has now been transferred to the Walter Reed Naval Hospital out of abundance of caution after testing positive for coronavirus. The president, according to the White House physician, is taking zinc, vitamin D, phenytoin, melatonin, and a daily aspirin, in addition to completing an infusion. I probably mispronounced this. Regerinsen polyclonal antibody cocktail. There was, of course, some fake news that he was being transferred to hospital because he had trouble breathing. That is not the case. And he just recorded, before he went to hospital, a message which he posted on his social media to the American people. We'll just view that.
I want to thank everybody for the tremendous support. I'm going to Walter Reed Hospital. I think I'm doing very well, but we're going to make sure that things work out. The First Lady is doing very well. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. I will never forget it. Thank you.
And now I think it's fair to say, because we remember that one of the other global leaders to get the coronavirus, Boris Johnson, when he recorded his message from isolation, he didn't look too well and he had to be rushed to hospital and then intensive care. Donald Trump looks much better in that footage than Boris Johnson did. So I think that Trump he looks like he'll be fine, but of course, who knows during this stage. And Obviously, the US media, they're talking about the 25th Amendment. This is a curveball in the campaign. It shows that everyone has to wear masks, and there's all sorts of commentary at the moment. But Trump, as the statement said, he's just going there out of an abundance of caution. And his wife, Melania, well, given how young and healthy she looks, she'll also be fine as well. So thank you, everyone, for watching on YouTube, DLive, and also Facebook for this Saturday special edition of Wilmsfront. I hope that you enjoyed the new, well, I shouldn't say enjoyed the new software, but found it to be a better visual experience. I'd appreciate your feedback on it. And I'll be back with the regular weekly edition of Wilmsfront, 7 p.m. Wednesday, Melbourne time. My guest will be Marika Rancey, also known as Political Posting Mama. She is most well known for her anti-safe schools activism against the LGBT indoctrination education program in schools that was designed by communist Ros Ward and supported and defended by Premier Dan Andrews and his Deputy Premier Education Minister James Molino, despite both of them claiming to be Catholics. Mariki Rancey, she obviously has other political values as well, and one of them is a pro-lifer. Dan Andrews, he says that this coronavirus pandemic is about human life, yet he was the health minister who legalized abortion in Victoria and was the premier who legalized euthanasia in Victoria. So the March for the Babies was supposed to be next Saturday at Treasury Gardens. The chairman of the March for the Babies is Liberal MLC Bernie Finn. Obviously, Bernie Finn is a lawmaker, can't be a lawbreaker, so it's going to be a virtual protest this year. Mariki Rancey is the vice president of the March for the Babies and hence one of the spokeswomen, so she'll be joining me on Wednesday. It'll be my first time interviewing her, so there will obviously be a lot to ask her about her whirlwind experience in the public eye since her first viral Facebook video. Again, thank you everyone so much for watching. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I hope I haven't sweated too much during the show because it's still very warm this time of night. So thank you so much everyone for watching, and I'll see you again Wednesday.
Thanks for tuning in to Wilmsfront. Visit timwilms.com or Rational Rise TV to view the archive of episodes. And keep visiting theunshackled.net to view all our shows. And to keep up with the latest real news and analysis.